So here's a question that you may have heard before or may have asked yourself before.
Why not now? Why not right now?
Every time I see a Corvette driving down the road, I think, why not now? And then in my head is Clinton saying, probably now. Because Clinton doesn't care about my finances. And he wants to borrow my car.
Why not now? Why not this second? Why put off something that you want to enjoy this minute? Let's talk about why not. We're going to continue our lessons on the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to start as usual by reading Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 26. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another." So it's been like 6 months since we last had a lesson in this series. It feels like to me, and probably to Jim as well, because Jim and I have apparently been on vacation together and haven't been here in weeks and weeks. So I'm going to remind you of the three things that I've asked you to remember as we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. The first is that your fruit, whatever you are bearing in your life, is a reflection of where your roots are. Either the fruit that you are bearing in your life is a reflection that you are rooted in the flesh, or it is a reflection that your life is in the Spirit. And where our lives look like the list of things that are the works of the flesh, that's probably an indication of where we are rooted. And where our lives are exemplifying the fruits of the Spirit, that as well is evidence of where we are rooted. And this fruit that we are bearing, this fruit of the Spirit, is for God's glory and not for our own. It is not so that people look at us and say, "You are a pretty great person." It is so that people look at us and say, "God is a pretty great God." And then lastly, all of this fruit that we're bearing, including the fruit of patience, is a fruit that we are bearing not of our own power or of our own ability, but of God's power. And God is the source of it. So this morning, we're going to talk about patience. And unlike what God calls us to when God calls us to be patient people, our culture is selling us constantly on the idea of enjoy your life now. Do the things that you want to do now. You deserve it. You deserve it. You've earned it. And why wait? What possible good could come from you not indulging in what you want to indulge in now? And if you don't do what you want to do now, you're wasting your time. Life is incredibly short. We should be enjoying gratification now. Don't wait till you get home. Text while you're in your car. You don't need to save. Saving is for chumps. You can have what you want, and you can have what you want right this second. So if you don't have the money for something, get a loan. Why not enjoy it now? If you can't afford it, that's a temporary obstacle in your way. Just get it now. Enjoy it now. Do it now. Life is short, so why wait for something that you can have or do now? And in a lot of ways, we see this reflected in our own theology. God could come at any minute. So you need to be engaged now and participate now. Do the things you want to do now. Don't wait. Do it now. It doesn't matter if you're not ready. It doesn't matter if that person's not ready to hear the gospel. Get it to them now.
I mean, we've basically lived under the constant assumption in every invitation song since you were a young child that God could come any minute. He's going to come before the end of the sermon. Do it now. Get it done now. And it is so stressful to constantly be told, you need to do it now. So when I was 20, here are the most important things in my life. I got a job, but my job was a solid 25-minute drive from my house, and so I needed a car. My grandfather, may he rest in peace, did not want me to spend the like $700 that I had on what was available in the year 2000 for $700, which was garbage. And so he loaned me, $4,000, and I went out and bought a sweet 1992 Pontiac Grand Am in exactly that color. You can't see it because it's not true to the actual color, but that is just as unnatural a blue as ever there existed. So that was important, and I needed to spend money on it, and it was, a smart move to accept a loan from a person that I trusted in order to get that car, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to get to work, or I would have put a burden on my family, because in Orange County, California, there's terrible public transportation, so there was really no way for me to get to work. But once I got that car, the most important thing in my life changed from something that was wise to being just daily dissatisfied with the stock radio that was in the car. And so the most important thing in my life became getting a new stereo. And then once I got that new stereo put in, like the bass was okay. But they had like boxes I could put in the trunk, and then I could put a subwoofer back there, and then everyone would know what I was listening to. And everyone could enjoy my music as well. And so I spent a full 10% of what I paid for the car on a dumb aftermarket stereo, so that I could listen to my music slightly more clearly. And that had some impact on my finances. So, had I just saved that $400, like I don't even want to think about if I had put that $400 into a savings account and just left it until today, like where my kids could go to college right now with what that would be with interest. So I didn't have piles of money. And those piles of money would have really come in handy when a girl's like, hey, you want to go on a date? And I could have said, yeah. But instead of saying, yeah, let's go on a date, I could say, do you want to sit in my car and listen to music? Because that's what I spent all my money on. And then when California State University Fullerton said, we would love it if you continue to be a student here and could pay your tuition. And I said, I'm going to learn about music in my car more. And this is all, like, really frustrating because it was a really pretty girl, too. I'm sorry that I didn't put the image of her in front of the money. It's actually a more accurate reflection of where my mind was at the time. And this last image isn't going to show up very well either, but this is a genetic thing, both in my family and because we're human, because right before my dad got married in 1977, he looked at his bank account the way that I looked at mine, and he thought, I don't really need money once I'm married, so why don't I buy this Kenwood receiver with every penny that I have in my savings account so that when I marry Robin, we have no money, but we can listen to music in our house on our receiver, which they still own, bless their hearts, to this day. So they have made that investment a wise one. But all of this is representative of impatience. It's representative of impatience. And if we really get down to it, and this is going to be uncomfortable to hear, it's uncomfortable for me to say, impatience is really thinking that we know better than God. I think that my timing is better than God's timing. That is an image of the slowest growing plant on earth. It takes 150 years to produce its first flower, and then just a few days after that first flower, it dies permanently. It takes a lot of patience to grow that plant.
and then there's not a lot of payoff once you wait.
But impatience is thinking that we know better than God. I know that this would be wiser to do later, or to hold off on, or to wait on, but I think it should be now. And Jesus calls us to the opposite of that. Jesus calls us to patience. And in patience, I'm aligning my desires with God's desires, which I think that we all want to do, but it includes that additional layer of allowing for those desires and needs to be met on God's timeline and not necessarily on mine. And then I try and find peace in God taking care of what He has promised to take care of. Because if we look through the Scriptures, God has promised to take care of us. God has promised to follow through on everything that we need Him to do, but He never promises to do it in the exact moment that we want it to be done. Which, as we heard in class this morning, is frustrating. Well, what's the answer? Is the answer no, or is the answer wait a little bit longer? Well, wait. James chapter 1 and verse 19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." That is the very exact example of impatience. I am frustrated with you, and I'm going to come and I'm going to talk to you about it right now because it needs to be dealt with this second. We shouldn't wait. We shouldn't cool off. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I think I'm almost always the opposite of that. I am very quick to anger, which then prevents me from hearing any of the rest of what that person has to say. And before they've even finished speaking, I have already formulated and written out a beautiful and angry response. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." I thought it was really interesting that Paul tied humility and gentleness in with patience. Because isn't impatience the very lack of humility? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. "Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Say not, 'Why were the former days better than these?' For it is not from wisdom that you ask this." Psalm chapter 37 and verse 7 says, "Wait and trust in the Lord. Don't be upset when others get rich or someone else's plans succeed. Don't get angry. Don't be upset. It only leads to trouble. Evil people will be sent away, but people who trust the Lord will inherit the land." Romans chapter 8 says, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. But who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." And in Romans 8, in the mid-20s here, we see the kind of paradox that we live in as Christians. And that is that we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. I am awaiting it eagerly, but at the same time, I'm doing it with patience. But Jesus could come back any minute. Oh, he could come back right now. I could not even finish this sentence and he could come back. Whose decision is that, though, when Jesus comes back? It's God's, right? Amen. So why am I worried about it so much? And why do I let that moment, the moment of Jesus' return, fill me with anxiety and fill me with impatience? This is a stick. That stick, it's an average looking stick at best. But that stick needs to be whittled. It needs to be whittled down. That's your part of the stick. That stick can represent a lot of things. Let's say, for our lesson this morning, that stick represents someone's journey to salvation. We get so wrapped up in all of the rest of the stick that's not our part of the stick. That we can give ourselves a complex. Why isn't that stick done being whittled? Well, your part's done being whittled. Be patient. Let it go. There might be 75 other people that need to do some whittling on that stick. And even then, God's going to do the vast majority of the whittling. I want to be clear. Patience is not the absence of urgency. Patience is not the absence of urgency. That's that same plant that I showed you earlier. It's a different photo. There haven't been photos 150 years old to show you a plant. Like, we're not ever going to see that plant make a flower. None of us. But that plant needs to be watered right now. But it does me no good to water that plant and then get frustrated that it hasn't grown into a 150-year-old plant with flowers on it yet. But me being patient for that plant to grow doesn't mean that I don't do what needs to be done to help that plant grow while it's in its infancy, right? That's a lot of people that need Jesus. That's that plant. Their journey to get to Jesus may be a lot longer than your part in it ever is taking. You need to be patient. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:13 and 14. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. And that's great. That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to do. Church leaders for ages look at verses like this and they're like, yes, yes, admonish the idle. Stop being idle. Stop being faint-hearted. Let's get you stronger. But then the frustrating part at the end of this is that you're also to be patient with them all. So be about the business of admonishing people and encouraging people and helping people. But when they don't get to where you think they ought to be in that moment, be patient with them. Chill out. We can't sing the song, in his time, God makes all things beautiful in his time, and then live our lives the opposite of that. In my time, I think you should be a Christian in my time. I think you should be grown as a Christian and matured as a Christian in my time. Lord, please show me every day how everyone's following my way as they do just as I say in my time. And we laugh like that's not exactly what we do and how we treat each other. Did you ever do group work in school? I hated group work. I hated group work because it always felt like I was attached to a group that was like the most lackadaisical group in history. And I ended up, the night before it was due, doing everything. Listen, if spreading the gospel is group work, God is the one who's going to do all the work. It's God that is going to make people saved. It's not you. You're not the really responsible member of the group. God is. You're the person who remembered, oh yeah, there's a period at the end of that sentence. Don't forget to put that period there. I helped out. I'll take the A. That's us in the evangelism thing. God is doing all the work. And when we think that we're the ones that are doing all the work and we get impatient with other people because they're not doing enough and they're not going fast enough and the work is due, it's due! The work is due! God knows when the work is due, and if it's going to get done, God will finish it before it's due. I promise you, God will not let a work that is going to get done go undone without being God. I mean, he's either God or he's not. He's either sovereign or he's not. He's either going to finish what he started or he isn't. And he's told us that he will. I really think that considering patience as a fruit that we can be producing when we are rooted in the Spirit will reduce stress. Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. I fret about that a lot. Fret not. That's, fretting is such a petty sounding way to be impatient. Like you're just biting your nails and you're like, ah, I'm fretting about that. Wait patiently and just be still. Because God will do what He says. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God said, I will listen to you and I will help you. And Paul is assuring us, now is that time. Now is the time when He's going to help you. He's going to do it. He has said that He will. So what does spirit-rooted patience look like? Isn't that a super appealing picture of a pomegranate, because it looks like it's such easy access and you're going to be able to just grab at the seeds instead of soaking them underwater and like just picking each one individually out? It's not even that good tasting to be worth all the labor that goes into it. But right there, if all pomegranate could be delivered to me like that, I might eat it more than the never that I eat it right now. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4, just a little ways down from what we just read. But in every way we show that we are servants of God, in accepting many hard things, in troubles, in difficulties, and in great problems. We are beaten and thrown into prison. Men become upset and fight us. We work hard, and sometimes we get no sleep or food. We show that we are servants of God by living a pure life, by our understanding, by our patience, and by our kindness. We show this by the Holy Spirit, by true love, by speaking the truth, and by God's power. Because I will tell you, the only way that you are going to be an understanding and patient and kind person when you are beaten down, when you are in the middle of a fight, when you are working hard, and when you have no sleep or food, is by the power of God. We are patient by the power of God. James 5 and verse 7 says, brothers, be patient until the Lord comes again. A farmer is patient. He waits for his valuable crop to grow from the earth. He waits patiently for it to receive the first rain and the last rain. You too must be patient. Do not give up hope. The Lord is coming soon. But see, the Lord is coming soon at the end of this verse is not supposed to undo all the patience that you're experiencing before it. We are to be patient with the understanding that the Lord is coming soon. Not, the Lord is coming soon. Oh no! It's not supposed to be like the gotcha at the end of this verse. The farmer knows that his crops are coming. He knows that they're coming. And so he does what needs to be done while he's waiting. But he's not just staring at the soil, rubbing his temples, going, oh no, is it gonna come? Ugh. Then a couple verses down, and when you later think, why didn't Nathaniel read James 5:9? Go ahead and read it. I didn't need it. Brothers, follow the example of the prophets who spoke for the Lord. They suffered many hard things, but they were patient. We say they are happy because they were able to do this. You have heard about Job's patience. You know that after all his trouble, the Lord helped him. This shows that the Lord is full of mercy and is kind. Job's troubles show that the Lord is merciful and kind? Yes, because Job was patient and he waited. So here's some things to think about. How does patience reflect your roots? Romans chapter 15 and verse 5 says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. But let's read that again in this version. Patience and encouragement come from God. Patience and encouragement come from God. If you are patient, it shows that your roots are in the Spirit, because God is the source of patience. And how does patience glorify God and not you? because our culture doesn't value patience. We don't really value patience in the church, honestly. It's not a thing that we are naturally good at. We're really bad at being patient. We're super good at having a sense of urgency and then being stressed about it. We're amazing at that. It is a gift that we all have. I feel an overwhelming and constant weight on me of urgency to spread the gospel more, and a frustration when people don't respond very quickly because we're running out of time. That's the message that we've been given for many of us for many of the years of our lives. Hurry, 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 hurry. And the overriding, overwhelming message of the gospel is be patient. Get out there and do it. But be patient. And how does your patience come from God and not you? Romans 15:5 again. It couldn't be any clearer. Patience and encouragement come from God. They come from God. God is the source of patience. God is the God of steadfastness. God is the God of endurance. Patience comes from God. So when we are patient, God is glorified because He was the source of it. So we started with love. We moved to joy. We talked about peace. And we've talked about patience. Every one of the fruits of the Spirit is an important way for us to show people who we belong to and where we place importance in our lives. I place importance on my relationship with God, and that should be reflected in my love, my joy, my peace, and my patience. All four of those things are currently being tried on a daily basis by everything around me. I flip on the TV, and then I wish I hadn't flipped on the TV, because my love, my joy, my peace, and my patience are tried by what I see on television. I jump onto Facebook, and my love, and my joy, and my peace, and my patience are tested by everything everyone writes on Facebook. It does not matter what side of anything you're on, you're probably making me angry. And so, often, in order for me to best glorify God, I have to disconnect myself from the things that I normally enjoy participating in. I have to pull myself out of conversations that I want to delve into. And nobody sees that, right? Nobody sees when you don't comment on something or you don't like something. No one says, "Why didn't Nathaniel comment on that? I'd like to hear his thoughts." No one ever says, "I'd like to hear Nathaniel's thoughts." And so that's just a private thing. That's just me saying, participating in this might not bring God glory. And so I'm not going to participate in this. But I will tell you that exemplifying, being better than me, which I trust that most of you are, being better than me at expressing love and joy and peace and patience in all of those things that I have an inability to do well is only going to do wonders for the kingdom in a time where those things are not expected out of anybody. Being a Christian who is rooted in the Spirit in a time when a lot of Christians aren't acting like they're rooted in the Spirit at all is going to do wonders for people's impressions of our Savior. And so next time, next week in fact, We're going to do another thing that I need to work on, and that's kindness. This might as well be called things that Nathaniel needs to be better at on social media, also known as the fruits of the Spirit. So we're going to talk about kindness. And is kindness represented any more beautifully than by a Honeycrisp apple? Like when someone gives you a Honeycrisp apple, what a kind act. The best of the apples. That shows that they love you, that they respect you, that they want you to be happy. They say, here's a Honeycrisp apple. I could have eaten it myself, but I want you to have it. That's the very exemplification of kindness. So next week, kindness. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, God, please be patient with us as we try and overcome the very natural impatience that we all have and the desire that we have to see our desires met this very instant. Help us to slow down. Help us to breathe deeply. Help us to consider other people where they are and to consider where we were. And God, help us to just relax and be more patient. Help us to seek your Spirit. Help us to seek your timeline. And help us, Father, to find satisfaction in waiting. God, give us peace as we try to be patient. Help us to be more like you and less like ourselves. We love you so much. We want to be like you, and we want to be better. So please, God, give us a renewed fire this week for your word. Help us to delve into what you have to say and not focus so much on what other people have to say. Help us to fill our minds with your words and not fill our minds with other people's words. God, help us to be humble and help us to be patient. And we ask all of these things in the name of your Son. Amen. I was really nervous that Terry was going to have, like, Why Not Now be the song at the end. It's not. But I actually, the song that he picked is great. Because I want God to take my life and let it be His and do with it what He wants to do with it. And I want my hands not to move when I want them to move and to do what I want them to do, but I want my actions to be a reflection of what God wants me to do. And this song so beautifully shows exactly the kind of relationship that I want to have with God and that I want to be reflecting to other people. What do I want other people to see my relationship with God looking like? I want it to look like that. It's God's. I belong to Him. And I reflect what He wants. If that's something that you want, and that's something that you don't feel like you have, I would encourage you to study and find out what it is that God wants for you, and then pursue that. And pursue it doggedly. And if you have any questions about it, I want you to feel as comfortable as you possibly can to talk to us and ask us any questions that you have about our Savior. I love Jesus, I love God, and I want all of you to know Him. And so if there's a way that I can participate in you helping to know Him, then I want to do that. I know that my part of you knowing Him might be just a tiny, tiny little circle on the edge of a much larger stick. But I want to do whatever I can do within that tiny circle. And if that's something that you want to do now and you want to talk about today, I'm going to be standing at the back. It's going to be loud in here as people are singing, so we can go wherever you want. I'll talk to you wherever, whenever. Call me, talk to me now, text me now, do whatever you want. I want to talk to you. Let's stand up and sing. Or low. No, stop. Let's sit down and sing. I got to get that out of my head.